I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, we had a text that ended with the first verse of this week's text, if you noticed it. What we talked about last week was keeping our eyes on heavenly things and not on earthly things. Now we find out this week, how do you do that? Because that's a tough process. The first question we could ask ourselves is, why did God create us? You ever asked yourself that question? He knew we were going to sin before he ever created us. Why did he do that? I don't have an answer. Why? I often ask God those questions in times of trouble. Why? And then I'm remembered, well, you know, I think to myself, well, God could have, if he wanted somebody didn't sin, why didn't he just create us that way in the first place? I don't have an answer. All I know is that he created us as he did, and we were perfect. And it's our fault, through Adam, that we didn't trust him, and we didn't believe, and we live with the consequences. That's the reality. Now, we're looking forward to heaven, and we're looking forward to that time where we can sin no more. It'd be pretty great. We don't even know what that really means. What does it mean to never have to worry about what you say? Kind of nice thought. Never having any consequences of sin. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. That's the hard part. For this present time, we live in Satan's domain. He's the prince of this world. We live in chaos. We live in trouble. I was reading a book the other night. I skimmed through it quickly. And it was written in 2002, that's 16 years ago already. I never thought I would live this long, to be honest with you. And what he wrote was true then, and it has become worse now. We have a tendency to think, oh, it was good then, and awful now. No, in a world of sin, it's always been this way. History is full of war and mayhem and murder and thievery and everything else you can name. And it goes on from generation to generation because God turned over the world to Satan. Even though God overrules, we're in Satan's domain. We don't like it. And one thing we don't like in particular is the ultimate consequence. What's that? We're going to die. Just a Saturday ago, I did a memorial service. And the husband that's left, because he's 89, but it doesn't make any difference when you've lived with somebody a long time. When they're no longer there, you miss them. And still tears. Then we called another friend that I'd known in the seminary, and her husband, pastor, died. And she's going to take a cruise, but and he wasn't there. and the voice cracked, and you know, I could hear the tears in behind that. And there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can really do, because for that person, it just takes the time to be finally comforted by a God who gives a comfort that this world cannot give. But it's painful. Now, how do you live with that? Well, I often think for the unbeliever, it must be awful. They have to make up things. You know, well, when I die, I just turned into dust and that's it. Good luck. Because it's not going to happen. God has put eternity into the heart of man. And you know what? The person that tries to say, oh, when I die, I'm just dust, they know better. They know better. They know that finally they have to answer for the life they've lived. The text is very clear about that. And they don't feel comfortable with that, but they won't go to the God who will forgive them. They won't go to the God who made them. They won't go to the God who cares. So I don't know if there's any unbelievers here today. I won't ask you to raise your hand. If you are one, you can keep it down. But I'm assuming that most of you are here because you've received the gift of faith, and that you do believe in the God who has created, and the God who, though we have sinned against him, while we were still sinners, sent his Son into this world to accomplish our salvation through the obedience we can't give, paying the penalty of our disobedience, rising from the dead so that we have the hope of resurrection. But we're still here. How do you live with that? Here's Paul's suggestion. Remember, this body you're living in is temporary. Temporary. It's only for now. And that means that all the things that go on here in this life, in our relationships and all of that other process, they don't go on forever either. We're not going to be sick forever. We're not going to be troubled forever. War doesn't go on forever. There is going to come an end. The greatest trouble is that when we sinned, we broke relationship with God. There's the pain. Think about it, reality in your own life, where you've known people, had friends, maybe you were married at one time and something happened, and you may have remarried, but you think oft times of the broken relationships. How you wish they hadn't occurred. How you wished maybe you yourself could say, I'm sorry. Maybe you could say, please forgive me. I want to remind you, once they're dead, that doesn't do much good. So why not do it while they're still alive? Including maybe even calling up somebody today that you know. When you haven't said, I love you, call them. Just wanted you to know, I love you. I've told you before, but I'm going to tell because maybe there's somebody that hasn't heard it. and I know enough of you are my age, so you probably forgot it. Lost spouse, and Jean did, in our 40s. And then remarried. We've been much blessed. And then somewhere in my late 40s, maybe early 50s, we went and back and visited my parents. My parents are kind of different people. When it was time to go home, we were going to go visit her sister in Massachusetts. My parents lived in New Hampshire. And they drove us down to Woburn, Massachusetts, which is still quite a few miles from where Jean's sister lived. And my mother said, "We're not going to go any further." Jean was kind of shocked. I'd lived with that all my life. So I just took it in stride, and she called the brother-in-law, and he came and picked us up. But something happened in between that. And it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for my mother saying, "We're not going to drive any further." My father called me off to the side. And when he did, he said something to me, and it's this: "David, I want you to know I love you. I guess I've never told you that before." What a shock. And it was nice to hear. Then he gave me a hug. That's what God has done for us in Jesus. He said to each one of us, "I love you. I care about you. I don't want you to be separated from me forever. I want you to know I love you." Now, as a Christian, that's what we live with. See, knowing that we're going to die, knowing all this trouble, God has put eternity in our heart. There's that kind of longing, there's that mystery that's in us. You know, when you're at the ocean and you look out the vastness of it, or you see the trees. I love Oregon for the trees. And there's something mysterious, something just a little beyond that you can't grasp, but it's comforting. That's what it is to keep your eyes on eternity and to realize this is not permanent. I'm going to have a new body. I'll be glad, because this one's not working too good. I've always been a little fluffy. I don't know if I'm going to be fluffy in heaven or not, but I know it won't make any difference, because it'll be perfect. It'll be without sin. It'd be without trouble. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. It's something that keeps me going now, in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the imperfect. All God's work from the beginning, the creation, the redemption, the promise, finally seeing him face to face, becoming as he is forever. All God's work, nothing to do with me. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You ever heard of St. Augustine? Yeah. He was a hellion in his early years. And his mother prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And Augustine finally came to faith. And Augustine said this, "Oh God, you formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Is this striking a bell for you folks? Do you sense that restlessness within sometimes? You know, just kind of a longing inside? Don't you have it? Well, isn't it wonderful to know the God who put it there? The God who wants us to yearn for him? That's how you get through the mess. That's how you get through the troubles. He's there. He is going to take us to himself. God's Holy Spirit has come to dwell with us when we receive the gift of faith. And Paul says in our text that he's the deposit, the down payment. Now, you know what that means. Most of you have bought a house or something of that nature, and you had to put down a down payment. If you want to make a reservation at a motel, they want your credit card number. Down payment toward the fact you're going to keep your promise and come and occupy the room so they don't lose the money. The same way with buying a house. It's an earnest money, a promise of something you're going to do. And that's what the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is. God's promise that he'll keep us. He won't let us go. He'll finally take us to himself. That thing that says, you are going to live forever. That though I die, yet shall I live. And this then leads to the thought of the final judgment. You remember what Paul said there? "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." What do you think when you hear that? I bet you're like me. I'm assuming you are. Oh, no. You mean they're going to have a list and I got to listen to it all over again of everything I said wrong, everything I did wrong? I don't even want to hear that as a Christian. I don't, do you? No. And that is not what's going to happen in the judgment. If that's your thought, you got it wrong. If the Holy Spirit is indwelling you and you've come to faith in Jesus, and that restless spirit within you is yearning to see the face of Jesus, your name is written where? In the book of life. The only one that has to worry about the judgment is the unbeliever. Because when the final judgment occurs, the first thing that happens is a separation. They didn't want God in this life. They can't have him forever. And I fear that for all the unbelievers. Don't they realize that forever is forever? That's why we should pray for them. That's why we should witness to them, that they too might be saved. But for those of us that are saved, go ahead and read Matthew 24 and 25. And what you're going to find out there, that the only thing that is said is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You visited the sick. You helped clothe and feed the poor. You did this, you did only the good things. And boy, that takes the sweat off the brow. Because all the things that are wrong are covered over with the blood of Christ. That's the good news. And that's how you get through. That's how you get through. Combine last Sunday with this Sunday. Keep your eyes on the eternal things. And remember, none of this lasts forever. Only God, and only you with God, when there are new heavens and a new earth. And forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we behold the face of Christ and become as he is.